We continue our wonderful walk through the Gospel of Mark, finishing chapter 1. It says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests, offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. The word of the Lord. Today's message is brought to you by the letter... No, I'm kidding. We go with Baptist Campus Ministry. I'm the director there. I'm the pastor there. And believe it or not, we meet on Sunday evenings for a Sunday gathering. And there we, too, are going through the Gospel of Mark. And one of the students there, bright, great, just looked at me and said, "They keep saying Jesus has this authority, and it seems to be different. What is it? Why is he different? What makes him different? What is this authority that he has that nobody else does?" Oh, that's a good question. That's somebody who's paying attention to the reading, because that's exactly, I think, what Mark wants us to be wondering. The question is who is this Jesus? And part of the answer and part of the question is this authority, isn't it? We might be quick and say, well, it's because he's God. But nobody knows he's God yet. Matter of fact, the demons who recognize him, he keeps silent. So that way they can't beat him to the punch of revealing who he is. So imagine yourself being in the shoes of the people who are just hearing Jesus preach. And we are told that they say he has this new teaching and that it has some authority to it. And I think if we understand what that authority is, we begin to answer the question not only of who Jesus is, but I think it can impact us today as well. So first things first, we're told at the beginning of our scripture reading today that Jesus then goes into Capernaum, starts preaching in their synagogues, starts teaching in the synagogues, and people are saying, boy, this guy's got some authority, right? Those first two verses, I'm going to argue, are introduction. Where the story picks up is, and suddenly there was an unclean spirit in their midst, right? Now, we're going to pause. What do you think Jesus is teaching about, talking about? Ah, if you were on any given day to hear Jesus talk, teach, or preach, it's going to be the message we heard last week. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. All the parables, all the lessons, all the discussions, all the actions, all can be summed up by that teaching. So if I had to guess what he's saying in that synagogue, it's got to be gosh darn close to repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Right? Now here's something else to think about. And I think we need to hold this in our minds because that is something that the early church and those of Jesus' day would have. And that is the present age and the age to come. In the present age, we experience it. We know what it is. It's war. It's famine. It's disease. It's illness. It's death. It's suffering. It's violence. It's coercion. Right? It doesn't take us very long to understand the ways of this present age. People seeking to have power and have power over people. People seeking to take things, whether it's from other people or not, because it's theirs, right? The age to come is in contrast to that. There is no war. There is no famine. There is no conflict. There is no war. There is no violence. There is no suffering. The age to come, new creation, the kingdom of God, that's the same language we can lump in here, are the places where Jesus says there's no more tears, right? There's peace, there's joy, there's abundance, there's life, there's wholeness. There is comfort instead of sorrow, right? So when we are reading these stories, I'm going to say that the authority which Jesus is preaching on, the authority in which they are recognizing is not anything more than the kingdom of God drawing near. That's the authority. It's this presence, it's this reality that is breaking into the present age. And we could see it playing out time and time again in our scripture stories today. If you were to pick up your Bibles right now, even your pew Bibles, you would have read that our verses start with a subheading and have multiple subheadings. One for Jesus doing the healing of the unclean spirit, one for Simon Peter's mom, one for the leper, right? At the very least, there's three subheadings, but I argue that these are all together. They are proclaiming something. You see, even Paul in his later letters say that the powers and principalities, the things that are ruling this time, this present age, and he lumps in demons with that, are all about this present age. And when the followers of Jesus, when Jesus himself comes into a room, you bring with you the kingdom of God. The kingdoms of this world in this present age going up against the kingdoms of God. The first thing we hear is Jesus is probably preaching what? Teaching what? That the kingdom of God has come near. And we see an immediate reaction from somebody who is completely controlled and is powerless because of the very symbol of the powers of the present age. Some unclean spirit has a hold of him and begins to say, "You who is the Son of God, who are you, Jesus? And I know who you are." And he shuts him up. And he doesn't use a ritual. He doesn't use a special object. He doesn't use anything other than get out. And it leaves. What we're seeing right here is the battle of what I would call two nations. Two powers, two superpowers going up against each other. Who won? Jesus. That's a good Sunday school answer. Jesus wins. Right? The kingdom of God. This makes sense. Jesus announced the kingdom of God has come near. And we see the kingdom of God coming near. What would we expect as we are looking at the kingdom of God coming near to happen in this present world. If the kingdom of God is coming near, you're not going to see somebody demon-possessed and suffering. You're not going to see somebody with illness. You're not going to see somebody who is exiled and full of shame, which is what the skin disease would have brought, isolation. You're not going to see that. You're going to see wholeness. You're going to see peace. You're going to see comfort, right? And you're going to see this play out in real time. That's the authority that Jesus is bringing. He's not just proclaiming that the kingdom has come, but he is showing that the kingdom of God has come near. And that is something we need to fully recognize in these bits, because it is two powers going against each other. And it tells us who Jesus is right away, doesn't it? If we're supposed to be asking, who is Jesus? Jesus is bringing the kingdom, and Jesus is victorious. I don't know about you, but if you're going into a fight, and all you have to say is, get out, and that person goes, okay, done. The fight's over before it even began, right? And that is what we're seeing. On a micro level, we're seeing the resurrection play out, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God coming near. So then the question becomes, if this is a battle, shall we say, what are the weapons? What are the weapons? There were none, right? Jesus didn't see this guy and whip out a slingshot like David did with Goliath. He didn't pick up a heavy sword or a spear. He didn't even bring a shield with him. It was his words. It was his compassion. It was his comfort. He brings wholeness. Wholeness is his weapon. Peace is his weapon. Compassion is his weapon. And we see it play out in real ways. Not just with the spiritual unclean person, but with Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law and with the person who has leprosy, with a skin disease. We see this play out, that where he goes, he's doing battle in a very victorious way. It's like a guy or a nation that comes into a country invading the space. That's how we should see it. Some scholars declare Jesus' ministry as D-Day, the invasion of the kingdom of God into the present age, into the kingdoms of this world. And he's just walking in. Do you get it? And notice, there's no do or die. There's no do this or face my armies. There's no coercion. There's no suffering that is attached with this. It may not be the perfect example, but when I was growing up, I didn't like vegetables. It's waking up and going, oh, vegetables are actually good, and my parents weren't trying to poison me. Imagine that. Broccoli is good. Green beans are good. It's not a choice in the sense of do this or die. It's this is right. This is good. There's no other option. As we talked about repentance as irresistible, so the kingdom of God becomes irresistible. It's not really a choice, right? It becomes this thing that offers you comfort and compassion and peace and wholeness, joy, life in abundance. You don't go, I'll pass. It becomes the very thing that looks foolish not to. We have too many wars going on right now. And I think that's been a case for most of my life as somebody who has lived through the last, 20-something years of being in war in Iraq, Afghanistan, and all of that, starting in 9/11. I don't think I've ever known a moment in my life where I've seen true peace in the world. How about you? I think this scripture today calls us to recognize something unique about our calling. as followers of Jesus. This is the authority that Jesus has. The kingdom of God draws near. He is the kingdom of God drawing near, not just in his words, but in his actions. And we as followers are called to do the same. We participate in bringing Jesus near to people, bringing the kingdom of God near to people. And with the Spirit, we are given that authority. So what does the authority look like? What does it look like for us to have Jesus' authority? It looks like us becoming people of comfort, people of peace, people of joy, people of hope, people that offer life, wholeness. I don't know about you, but that sounds like something I want to be a part of. And I also recognize that's not always what I can be. That's a struggle to be that in this world. In this present age, that could be a struggle. That's who we're called to be. And you know what? Give you a real world example of what happens when we fail to do that. I heard a person this weekend. Sorry. I heard a person this weekend on a news organization proclaim themselves as a follower of Jesus and say, we need to wipe out the Gaza people, the people in Gaza. That includes the 820,000 children there. Right? This isn't black and white. This isn't just we can go in and murder a whole bunch of people in the name of Jesus. That, to me, does not proclaim the gospel. That does not continue walking in the authority of Jesus. Why? Because it sounds like the ways of this world rather than the ways of Jesus. When you read this scripture, you're hearing comfort, you're hearing life, you're hearing joy. It's the ways of the world that bring violence. The only time we hear of violence is from the spirit that's trying to leave the body, violently shaking the person, realizing its time is done and doing its death roll, one last stand to try and destroy as much as it can on its way out. We are not told what Jesus does in the next seconds after this. I don't think it includes a sword. I don't think it includes beating. I don't think it includes shame. If we were to use our imagination, what do you think Jesus is doing to the demon-possessed, spiritually unclean person moments after that spirit leaves? Would we imagine comfort? Would we imagine a hand up like he gives to Simon's mother? Would we imagine an embrace and a wholeness and a celebration of joy that this person now has their life back? That's the life we're called to. That's who we follow. That's our authority. That's what makes people stop and say, this is different. With Jesus, his actions meet his words. I grew up being told your words and your actions should meet, should be one and the same. If you're going to do something, do something. If you're going to say you're going to do something, then do it. That message is clear here too. This is who we are called to be. Now, I don't think we're going to solve the Middle East crisis and problems. I don't think we're going to solve the problems in Eastern Europe. But I do think that we could be people right now who are following Jesus as people of comfort, as people of peace, as people who bring wholeness, as people who bring compassion and hope into our homes, into our workspaces, into our community, into our grocery stores, wherever we are. That's something we can do here and now. That's within our power, right? We can trust that Jesus has the rest. But in our little corner of the world, this is what we can do. And that's going to be hard. That's going to be difficult. Because there are days where we don't want to be very peaceful. Because the person over there isn't thinking of the age to come. They're thinking of the age right now. And boy, do I want to give them the age right now. But we are called to be so much more. Because we are so much more. I often say that sometimes we are our own worst enemies in Christianity. That although we are called to evangelize and proclaim the good news and the gospel and the kingdom, sometimes those of us who have the biggest mouth and the biggest followings don't always do that. Don't always show Jesus in the way that Jesus would have them show him. We lose integrity when we try and behave in the way of the present age. You follow what I'm saying? When we as Christians try to grab power, hold power, become violent, that is when we're behaving in the ways of the world. That's when we're participating, to use Paul's language, in the flesh. We're called to be spirit people, spirit-led people. We're called to be so, so much more. So today, when we ask the question that Mark puts before us, who is Jesus? Who is this guy who is saying this teaching? Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. And boy, what authority is that? We see the authority on display. We see his grace. We see his compassion. We see his comfort. We see his hope. We see his wholeness and peace and joy being offered to those, literally, story after story after story. We see the inbreaking, the coming of that kingdom, of the age to come in this moment. And the invitation is for those who follow Jesus to do the same. And dare I say, it doesn't always need to mean we heal somebody with a fever. Although sometimes we can do that, right? We've got medicine. But as somebody with a sick kid at home, I could tell you, just as much that is needed of that medicine is the comfort. Be real honest. Lucas was sleeping next to us in a chair last night because what he wanted most was comfort. Yes, he craves wholeness. He craves life from not being sick, but he craves comfort too. We could do that, right? We could be that people. So that is the message of this scripture. Be followers of Jesus. Be the ones who use his authority. And we know what that authority looks like. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, You are good beyond words. The stories of your son whom you sent, whom you love, proclaiming your kingdom, calling us to be part of who you are, what you're doing in the world, which looks like comfort and love and compassion, looks like charity and peace, looks like joy and offering hope. These are things your son did in his words and his actions, where he called us to so much more. And so, Lord, we pray as boldly as the disciples and the apostles did after your resurrection and ascension, for the boldness to proclaim your good news, that your son did bring the kingdom come near, that in his very presence we experience the age to come. And we offer it to all who will hear, all who will know. And we do that because we have experienced the newness and the life of the kingdom, of the age to come in our own lives, how you have comforted us, how you have made us whole, how you have given us peace, how you have given us hope. And that no matter what life may have in store for us now and in the future, we hold on to that hope of the resurrection, which means even when the world and this age throws its worst at us, there is still being raised in your very presence. So as citizens of your kingdom, give us the strength, guide us by your Spirit to be people who offer love and comfort and joy and charity and peace, compassion, hope and joy wherever we go, even on the days when it's hard, even when all the people are pushing all the buttons. May you bring your kingdom into our very presence. And may one day you answer the prayer that your Son has taught us to pray, that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That all of creation would know and experience the age to come. Father, we pray this in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.